finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio. What's up, Kalos? Welcome to Sales Funnel Radio. Steve Larson. I'm psyched to be here with you guys. I am really happy to be here, and that might sound stupid, but I just got back from Funnel Hacking Live, the final one, which I've had several people reach out and be like, it's not the final one. It's probably just like, no, it's as far as I know, it's the final one. It's like a $4 or $5 million gamble every time, and it doesn't always pay off. And, so anyway, the reason though I'm so psyched is that Marley and I, as well as a bunch of people that we've heard of through the grapevine, we got, I don't know if I'm allowed to say it on air. We got COVID. And so we actually got back a week ago, and this is like the first time I felt alive. So I'm glad to be here, and I feel ready to rock, and so bored. You ever been sick so long that you're bored of being, you're just bored. Like, my energy was completely gone. We got super sick. I cannot watch any more TV or series. Oh my gosh. I am not a huge TV person, but man, if I sit any longer on the couch, I'll die of boredom. So anyway, I'm very excited to be here with you guys. Funnel Hacking Live was awesome. Really, really enjoyed it. I did a round table, which is awesome. One of the hotel staff walked up to me afterwards and he was like, hey man, I don't know what you do, but just so you know, you easily had the largest group at your table. And I was like, thanks. He's like, you're just thrashing that mic, you know. And it's true. I love what I do. And my passion shows. I could do roundtable Q&A all day, every day. I love it so much. And to that point, I've been making a lot of changes and updates to salesfunnelradio.com. So if you go to salesfunnelradio.com, there's a button there that you can ask a question, and I will listen to it. And if it's a fit for the broad audience, I will put your voice and your question into the episode. I used to do that a long time ago. It was a whole segment I used to run called Ask Steve, and I had a t-shirt and all this stuff. It was super fun. Actually, I got a picture with Russell. I'll go add it to the page. It's kind of cool. Russell's wearing one of my Ask Steve shirts, but that's a segment that I used to do. So I'm bringing it back. So if you go to salesfunnelradio.com, click on like ask a question, it's on there, it's a big red section, click the button and it'll actually record a voicemail through your browser and email me the audio file. And then what I do is I listen to all of them, and then if it's a fit, you know, so just keep that in mind. If it's a fit for the broader audience, then I'll use it and answer it on the show. I did it in the past, and some people, they just got so specific, or it was something that was so specific that I just couldn't use it. So anyway, just keep that in mind. But that round table just reminded me of that, and I was so excited to be in the round table. The Funnel Hacking Live thing was awesome. This was an interesting year for me. It was a hard year because it was the last one, you know, and I've been every FHL except for the first one, and it's been interesting to see. You know, I just had so much affinity and appreciation for how the event changed me, you know, and I'm just very humbled by it. Walking around the events, it was an interesting experience. I had several of you, which is very, very nice of you. It's just a flood of emotions throughout the event, thinking that, oh my gosh, this is the last one. Like it's over, you know, like 10 years ago. Anyway, it just blew my mind, and I was at the end, I grabbed one of my buddies' backstage passes. Actually, well, Marley did. I was like, go grab his name tag. It's one of our friends. I was like, go grab his tag. I'm going to sneak back and talk to Russell. So we did. And I just was trying to not absolutely lose it. And I was just thanking him. And actually, she posted the picture. We had a big, long hug back there. And I just thanked him for all the chaos, the psycho crap that we had to go through at the beginning of ClickFunnels to not just build a business, but birth a market. You know, it was very hard, and deeply affected me. I mean, you know, I had a coach of mine recently. She's like, so you've never actually been diagnosed, but you know, ADHD or anything like that? And I was like, what are you trying to say kindly? She's like, I'm pretty sure I've got something, right? But I was like, you know, the reality is though that some of my little mental quirks, I don't know if I would have survived what we went through had it not been for some of my mental weirdness, you know, back when there was only 20 of us, 20 employees at ClickFunnels, you know, and I left and there was 400. You know, when I first got there was 12,000 users of ClickFunnels, and when I left there was 60,000. And then we did the One Funnel Away Challenge. That technically, I was no longer working there technically at that point anymore, but it looked like I was because I was running the One Funnel Away Challenge. And that's what brought it from 60,000 users to 100,000 monthly users. I mean, it was fascinating, man. Just, it was a fascinating time. Chaotic, sporadic, frantic. And so I just got so much affinity for the Funnel Hacking Live event. And so, I'm very excited to tell you all that as I started walking through the event, you know, it was about 5,000 people at this event. And I was like, man, the largest event I've ever done had 650 people at it. 650 people. And I was thinking about what it took to do that. And I was thinking about the different campaign methods. And I was thinking about the different, you know, and that was pre-scamdemic. And I was like, I don't know, it was about probably 2 or 3 days into the Funnel Hacking Live event. I was like, I bet I could go do this. And so that's our plan is next year, you know, I forgot about this, but Funnel Hacking Live's first event had 600 people at it. My first big event had 600 people at it. I've done 31 in-person events now. I was like, man, I know the event space. I know the event model. I don't know. It just hit me. I was like, I think I could go, you know, TNC, they just closed up shop, or so I've heard. I don't know if it's ever coming back. Grant Cardone just ended the 10X event. It's over also. Funnel Hacking Live just ended. I was like, we need an industry event. Like, it really is. It's a catalyst for growth. And I was looking back on like the last 10 years and all the things that I've been, you know, so blessed. And I understand that's one of the reasons I work so hard and, you know, really got back in the saddle. I was like, man, I've just been blessed with these opportunities. I don't want to waste them or squander them or live in a way that doesn't show total gratitude of this. So I, 2 or 3 days into this last Funnel Hacking Live event, my tone changed. And I started like looking at the event in a different set of eyes again. And I was like, huh, I think I should go for this. I think I should do this. And so that's our plan. And I started talking to some of my friends who are insanely smart. And I started sharing the plans. And I got some messages back from them after the event. And they're like, you could totally go do a capitalism event, broad entrepreneurship. So that's it. That's the plan. Is for me to, I got to finish writing the dramatic demonstration book. I had a ton of people ask when it's coming out. So I got to finish it. And I'm super excited about it. And I think part of the reason for the stall there was because I was trying to see, I was like, where's my next 10 years? You know, I want to pick up the mantle. And a drive and a hunger that not only will I have a hard time expressing, I've also never felt this level of it, has just, I mean, I am dreaming about, like, literally in my sleep. I don't know. I'm not expressing this correctly, and I don't think I'm going to. But guys, I just the amount of drive and vision, I've never had this level of it, and it's been coming in waves over the last 6 months. And you probably heard that if you've been like listening for a long time. So, anyway, yeah, that's not why I started podcasting this morning, but yeah. I'm going to go, you know, FHL's first event had 600 people. The second event had 1,000. And so that's going to be my next goal. I'm going to go do an event with 1,000, next year and start that process. And I'm so excited about it. It's going to be probably Capitalist Pig, right? It's going to be the theme. It's not going to be in the funnel space, although I'm sure funnel people will come. It's going to be a little bit broader market. Anyway, that's what I got so far. We'll figure it out though. I love doing events. They're my favorite. Oh, they're such a drug. They're so fun. And there's one of the reasons I built my own event studio was because I recognized very early on that events are easily the fastest way to capture market share. They're also one of the fastest ways to change a human. Something about getting someone out of their environment and getting on a plane and getting hotels and choosing to spend a couple of days in a room learning and being in, you know, I mean, for lack of a better word, indoctrinated it in new stories and new insights. There's something about that that changes the person in a way that is hard to do otherwise. And I think it's because there's a lot of sacrifice the person makes to be in the room. You know, it's more than just money. There's a lot of time. There's a ton of intention. You don't just wake up one day and be like, maybe I'll get on a plane and go to an event. Like, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. And I think because there's a lot that goes into it for the person, there's also a lot to get out of it. There's a lot of shifting and changing. So I'm very, very excited to go do this and with Marley. And we're gonna go do a capitalism event next year. So my goal will be 1,000 people with it. Anyway, okay, that's not why I was doing this podcast though. I want to share with you guys real quick. This is the number one skill that you need to make any funnel work. All right. It's the number one skill. It's what I wanted to share with this podcast. You know, as I was walking around Funnel Hacking Live and took so many selfies, one of my favorite things about going to massive events like that is I get to walk the halls. Like, I really only was inside like a couple times. And it's not because I wasn't trying to support any speakers. I went in to support some specific friends with their speeches and listen and cheer and all that. And it was great. But one of the reasons I like to walk the halls is because I get to see the patterns of what people are talking about and asking about. And every time that I go with that intention, whatever the top patterns are on what people are struggling with or needing help on or whatever, easily bubbles to the top. And one of the biggest things that popped up that I was asked about, that people were wondering about, that people were asking from me to go help with, one of the biggest things was the topic of affiliate marketing. And it's really exciting because I have collected over $1 million in commissions. So I was able to get on stage for Two Comma Club for affiliates, which is nuts, it freaking blows my mind. My first dollar online was with affiliate marketing. From Edison, I've collected over $1 million. 750,000 of that is from, promoting affiliate products. And then there's another 200,000 from other things that I've done for them for commissions as well. This is crazy. Two commas and commissions just blew my mind. So it was fun to get on stage for that specifically. I was like, wow. So affiliate marketing has been a huge piece. This is not what I was, you know, going to talk about. I'll talk about my real thing in a second here, but that I just wanted to just point it out. Affiliate marketing is projected to, if you look up to like stats and projections of like big publications, affiliate marketing is projected to nearly double by the year 2030. Nearly double based on the size it is right now. Like, which is crazy. Affiliate marketing is going to be one of the largest industries. And one of the reasons why I think that is because people are finding like, you could be an affiliate for Amazon. Like, I think Amazon has a lot to blame, not that it's a bad thing, for this big recent shift inside of affiliate marketing. And the reason for that, I think is actually because of the scamdemic. Like, a lot of affiliate marketing blew up. And I think it's because a lot of people in the world were suddenly couldn't work. And they're like, you can make money on the internet? How do you do that? And I heard a stat like, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years ago. It was a while ago that at that time, for every dollar that was being spent on the internet, 25 cents was running through Amazon. And I looked it up again, and I think it's 33 cents out of every dollar now is running through Amazon. And so because, you know, short form content is such a prevalent thing now, mixed with just time. That's, you know, it takes statistically about 10 years for a market to get educated on a new technology. Well, 2020 was 5 years ago. So we're halfway there. And now people are like, wait, affiliate marketing's a thing? So it's interesting in the halls at Fun Hiking Live, because that was one of the biggest things that I wasn't expecting that. A lot of people asked about affiliate marketing. Steve, you have that affiliate thing you just put out, right? A lot. It was one of those things where if I didn't notice the pattern, I would be dead. Like, I was asked a lot about affiliate marketing, and I don't know if it's because I put out a program called Affiliate Hacks recently. It was a really soft launch. I didn't launch it very hard, but I think it's because the market is so hungry for it now. And so, having collected a million in commissions myself, I feel qualified to teach this topic. So we put out a program called Affiliate Hacks. I'm not trying to just pitch you, but, you know, if you want to check it out, I have a very unique take on affiliate marketing. In fact, I'm one of the largest affiliate marketplaces about 5 years ago reached out to me. Oh my gosh, 6 years ago, crazy. And they're like, hey, you have a very unique way of doing affiliate marketing. It was ClickBank. And they were like, hey, that was back in the, ClickBank, if you hear this podcast, I am totally open to doing it with you again, by the way. There's, you know, anyway, they wanted me to go create a program with my very unique, take on affiliate marketing. And then we were talking about going halfsies with it, and they spread it to their people. I spread it to mine, and it was super, like, the only reason we didn't do it is because of the scam, scamdemic, as well as the, I was going through divorce and just life, life crap. So, and then this last one, another gigantic affiliate platform had a similar thing. So with a different CEO who's been texting me. So it's a need, is my point. Now, and it's what I'm seeing and calling the shot on here is that affiliate marketing again is going to be, it's really interesting, man. I feel like last year what we saw was the resurgence of the email marketing platform. Not that email ever died, but the focus of it really came back strong this last, in 2024. If you're not email marketing, it's back, baby. Also, Zuckerberg is, he announced that they're going to make it a little bit easier on the platform again for Facebook. That's coming back. It's not what it was, but it's definitely coming back a little bit. That's what I'm seeing. And then I'm also seeing that There was like three specific themes of what I saw walking the hallways. The first was affiliate marketing. The second is one that doesn't quite fit the podcast here, so I'm not going to right now. Plus, strategically, I'm going to keep it close to the vest for a little bit. And then the third, though, was that there is, I don't know if you guys can feel it, but there has been a breath of fresh entrepreneurial air since the beginning of the year. I don't know if it's because of the political scene. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. But that was the other topic that popped up. A lot, actually, is I had people who would walk up routinely and be like, so I feel like stuff has just changed. What's different? Energetic shift. People have drive again. The purchasing power and desire went back up. People are buying things more again. And it was really fun to feel and notice. Anyway, all right. Let me just get to the skill, guys. That's my Funnel Hacking Live recap of kind of what I experienced while going there before getting the Verona. It's my third time getting it, whatever. Oh man. So here's the number one skill that I believe you need, especially if you're going to outposition all of these new people with affiliate marketing. You know, I think that kind of what happened is, yeah, 2020 came along, all that crap went down, and the internet got all this flood of people who did not know what they were doing, but were eager and they were trying to make money on the internet. And so they're spreading content and material that doesn't make any sense. And they're using the internet to pitch instead of market, which is the big no-no. And so, you know, it kind of muddied the waters. And at the same time, all these platforms started getting AI smart. And so it made people who legitimately know what they're doing start just getting drowned out by just volume, right? So these platforms have all this AI in them now. And what it means is we need to create a messaging shift. This is what's happened. This is what I'm seeing, okay? Think about this. Okay, the number one... Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode. Skill that is still going to outposition you. There's two of them. The top two skills that are going to... I guess it comes down to the same one, though, really. that is going to outposition your competition, that's going to help your dream customers know that you're better than your competition, is still going to be the skill set of story. It's still storytelling. Okay, but the problem is that people don't know that there are different kinds of story. All right. For example, let's say I'm going to tell you a story about this guy named Frodo, and there's this crazy ring, and this like dude is kind of a dick, and you know, he's the bad guy, and he likes to just, you know, chop people in half with a gigantic sword, and so this guy named Frodo, he's got to go over and throw this guy's ring, which somehow is this dude's power, which seems like a massive failsafe in my opinion, but he goes out and this is a strategic. Hole to have this much power and just a ring. That's not, anyway, he's got to go toss this ring in a gigantic volcano. And anyway, it's super long and dramatic. It would take me like 15 hours to tell the whole thing. All right, let's say I finished telling you that story. At no point at the end of that are you going to open your wallet up and be like, here's money. All right, story is not created equally, and story does not all cause a person to do the same things. There's different types of stories for different things. And so the storytelling that you need to get good at is still... There's four of them, in my opinion. Okay, there's four of them, and I'm going to explain these and let me walk through these. Okay, the four stories that you have to get good at telling is different than like the webinar stories. Don't sign out of what I'm telling you if you're like, oh, he's just going to talk about like you got to have the origin story, then you got to have secret one. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay, you need four different categories of stories. And knowing when to use them is like different arrows in the quiver. It's like, oh, I'm going to use this type of arrow. I'm going to use this type of arrow. That's how I think about it. And the reason I think about it like that way is because my sales trainer, when I was on a door-to-door sales guy, that's how he taught me what stories to pull out and use on the doors based on whatever was going on. So the four different types of stories is you got to know what your marketing story is. Okay. Which is different than your sales story, which is different than your closing story, which is different than your brand story. Okay, they're different stories. The heart of being successful, and I'm really putting a point on this still, because the way you're gonna cut out the crap from all the people who don't know what they're doing on the internet, from all the people who don't understand, you know, how to use the internet and what the internet's really for, right? It's story. That's how you're going to position yourself as the top. That's how people are going to make a snap judgment. You need to help people make a knee-jerk subconscious judgment about your business and your product, that it's better than your competition, right? We all say don't judge a book by its cover. Well, marketers are trying to help the person make a judgment by the cover that you're better than everybody else without you opening your own mouth, right? If people can't tell out of the gate that your product is better than your competition, right, without you explaining it to them, you have a story problem. Okay, you got a brand problem. You have a marketing issue. And the answer is story. Still. Now, I'm not saying that you don't need to go learn or shouldn't learn the greatest and latest funnel tech, right? I'm not saying that you shouldn't go, you know, that's not the point. But that's a technical thing. That's not marketing, right? Funnels are not marketing. Like out of the gates, it depends what you do with it, right? That turns it into a sales and marketing asset. But the four core stories or categories of stories is still, you got, what's your brand story? The story of your brand, right? What's the marketing story? And a marketing story is a story that the net effect of them listening to it is the result is that they have their hand in the air saying, could you tell me more about what you do and your product? It might be a fit for me, right? The book that I'm writing with Russell right now, called Dramatic Demonstrations, which I'm so excited to be done with and get it out to you. It was not among the top requests, but it definitely was up there of people asking when the book's coming out. So super excited about that. But the point, one of the major points of the book is the fact that we have a marketing story and we have a sales story. And the point of marketing is measured in lead gen. That's it. Don't measure marketing in social media engagement. Our engagement is up. Our marketing's working. No, your content is getting people to engage with it. All right? You might have told a story, but it's not the kind of story that gets somebody to say, tell me more about your product. Right? That's why it's important to understand that. Like, if you put a piece of content out, you put a video out there, and nobody ever asks to hear more about your product, like, without you inviting them, it just means it was content. It doesn't mean it was marketing. It means it was a video. And I'm not saying there's no value in that, but don't call it marketing, right? Marketing is not, it's not likes. It's not comments. It's not subscribes. It's not engagement scores. That's not marketing. They're powerful metrics, but don't call it marketing. Those are just social media metrics, right? Marketing is only and should only ever be measured in people raising their hand and saying, tell me more. That's the premise of the dramatic demonstration book. Okay, that's what people are getting messed up on. That's the reason marketing has gotten so hard for people. It's not that they got hard. They're just telling stories that have nothing to do with hand raises. At its core, marketing is lead gen. Right? So what is your marketing story? Because it's different than your sales story. Right? The story that you tell to sell somebody, how do you measure a sales story? Well, you measure it in people saying, okay, how much is it? That's different than your closing story. How do you measure your closing story? Cash in hand, baby. Right? And the problem is that people have kind of one story maybe in their back pocket, and they expect like all four of those functions to be covered. They're like, I told the story I needed to. Therefore, I'm going to use the same story for my brand. I'm going to use the same story for marketing. I use the same story for sales. I'm going to use the same story for closing. It's like, no, of course that's not going to work. You say it like that, people are like, well, no, that doesn't make sense. But then people are using the wrong stories in the wrong places in the wrong channels. They're just, or they just, their story is just wrong. It's just a wrong story. So that is still the number one skill. Because here's what's going to happen when we get like this big surge of affiliates over the next, you know, 5 years, and nearly double affiliate marketing over the next 5 years. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to have a whole bunch of people who've never really made it. They never really made any money. And they're going to be given all these really powerful tools. And so, like, there's going to be a whole bunch of affiliate marketing tools that have just come out. Like Russell just released his Offer Lab, which, yes, that used to be the name of my product. We had a really cool chat at Sedona in the desert. And he was like, I've had so many people reach out. They're like, did Russell Brunson just steal the name of your program? Like, no, we had a chat about it. It's all good. Plus, I got a ton of content with the name Offer Lab on it. Like, it was my main core product for, like, I don't know, 4 years. So all I found myself in is a strategic advantage, really cool position with a bunch of assets that say Offer Lab, tons of domains, all this stuff. I'm like, it's not a bad thing. It's a blessing. So anyway, yeah. So, but think about it. All these tools about affiliate marketing are going to be coming out, and you're going to go, no offense to these people, but there's going to be a lot of noobs. Right? People who don't know what they're doing. People who think that using a tool just means now they can check the box on marketing. People who, right? And they're going to flood the market. They're going to flood it, just like what happened in 2020. Right? They're going to flood it. And you're going to have to get, they're going to do what every noob that does. Every noob on the planet, what they do is they jump out and they say, well, I have a product. I better go sell the product. And I think selling the product means understanding the product the most. Well, I have a water bottle here, and the water bottle is red. And when you buy this water bottle, you'll get red on your water bottle. That's the color of it. And there's a top, and you can actually screw the top. And the reason you want that is because it's going to keep the water in and keep it from spilling. So with this water bottle, you're going to get the color red. You're also going to get this really awesome top that screws up. It's like they're so feature benefit focused that the only thing they're competing with is the product itself. That's what's going to happen. right? So the way that you're going to cut out all, separate yourself, wheat from the chaff, the way that you're going to stand out still is by understanding that it's still about storytelling. Now is the time to figure out what your four categories of stories actually are. This is one of the reasons why companies don't scale also, is they just never take the time to figure out what stories sell, what stories market, what stories close, what stories cause brand affinity, because stories are not created equally and they are not all meant for the same things. So it still comes down to storytelling. Now, I was talking to someone about this a bit ago, and they're like, what do you think? This funnel tech versus this funnel tech. And I'm like, all of it sucks if you're not a marketer, right? Every funnel platform you've ever heard of in your entire life still is garbage if you're not a marketer, right? That's besides the point, right? Anyway, so be a storyteller and be a good one. I recommend strongly that you, if you never have, sit down. In fact, Russell had me do this at the very beginning of my career. I sat down and I wrote for hours stories from my life to just document them. I wasn't writing out the whole story. I was just like, the story about this. Oh yeah, I forgot about that one. Or the time when this happened in my life, or the time when this happened in my life, or what. I was creating a catalog. Cataloging, documenting. I was just writing down stories from my life. And not all of my experiences are good in a marketing scenario or a sales scenario or whatever, but some are. And they're the ones you've heard probably, right? And it's the reason why I don't need to practice interviews for podcasts that I'm on. It's the reason why I, right? Like, we just did this. Marley and I at our last workshop, we had people sit down and just catalog. Hey, what are the stories that pop into your mind from the first 10 years of your life? You have 10 minutes, go. Hey, what are the stories you could catalog that pop to the top of your mind from age 11 to 20 in your life? You have 10 minutes, go. Hey, what are the stories? And we just did it 10 years, 10 minutes at a time. And it's one of the most valuable assets you'll create as a business owner, as a marketer, as a salesperson, because then you start to look at it and be like, oh, this one would be probably the beginning of my business origin story. This one over here is probably the beginning of, you know what, this would probably be a good marketing story. This one over here, that story about my life might be good about my brand, right? How the brand really started, you know, which is different than the product. This story right here, this story would be really, really effective, I think, at helping people who are sold close, because you can be sold but not closed. So I need a story that helps people get closed and actually cross the rest of the emotional distance of taking out their credit card and actually buying, right? Anyway, that's the point of the episode. Remember that it is still about storytelling. The stories are not created equally and they don't have the same purpose. And all this flood of people that are about to enter our beloved market, they're going to get loud, but loud doesn't always mean correct. And if you don't want to enter the features and benefits and product only focus battle that's about to happen, right, where the only reason you can try to convince somebody to buy from you is because of something about the product, you're already losing if you have to default to things about your product or offer to sell it. What is going to cause somebody to have a lot of affinity? You need a brand story. People fall in love with the brand. Your product just came with it, right? That's way easier. But if you don't take the time to do that, and if you don't figure that out, like the onslaught that's about to come because of all these affiliate marketers is it could be detrimental, right? We unfortunately live in a space now where the loudest, not the best, gets paid the most. And, now that's a superpower if you're loud and you're loud with the correct stories. Then you just run circles around everybody. I mean, it's so fun. But if you don't have those stories and you don't understand how the role of story, and it's not just about telling a story of a guy named Frodo, right? You got to be good at telling the story, but it's more about what story. That's what really, really matters, right? That's how you strategically outposition everybody. You're trying to help your dream customer make a judgment about you, right? Again, like I was saying before, we want to act like we don't judge a book by its cover, but we do, right? And a marketer's job is to aid the dream customer in making a snap judgment about you, right? Don't act like they're not. They're making a judgment in an instant, not even on purpose. It's just happening. And if the judgment, right, which means the first yes or no is happening probably without you even opening your mouth. If you don't do anything about it, that's negative. If you do something about it, that's positive. It's one of the reasons I wear the Capless Pig shirt. Subconsciously, they are already saying yes or no to me, and I haven't even said anything. So already, with my Capless Pig shirt and brand, already I'm getting a micro step towards me or a micro step away from me. And that's okay. That's what I designed it to do, right? That's why I did it, right? So now when I start telling a marketing story, they've already rehearsed saying yes to me on a micro level. They've already, right? And then when I start going into the sales story and I ask for the real yes, right? And I'm going into the closing story and I'm asking for them to say, yeah, they've rehearsed. It's a rehearsal. It's a dress rehearsal the whole way for the real yes, which is them taking the wallet out and purchasing, right? So I welcome the onslaught of people that are about to enter the affiliate marketing space. I welcome it. I'm so grateful for it. It's awesome. And it's because it's back to basics, baby, right? It's not going to be a piece of tech or some little tiny fluke in the funnel or some little trick or gimmick or flash in the pan thing that makes your funnel work. I'm not saying don't do those, and I'm not saying don't figure those out, but it's not in lieu of the core skill set, which still is storytelling, okay? You can not be good at basically everything else, okay? Everything else is outsourceable. Great. And I'm not saying you can't outsource story either, but don't. This is the skill set that you want to keep close to the vest, right? Be good at telling story and the different categories of story: brand, marketing, sales, and closing. The four different stories really are those. Now, when you start getting into like a perfect webinar and you start getting into those different scripting styles, there's like four other stories inside of selling itself, you know, within itself. But don't think that's the only kind of story you need to have figured out, right? I've been calling my shot about this dramatic demonstration book because I teach what this marketing story is. And I even told it to Russell. I was like, dude, I'm going to call my shot that what the perfect webinar script did for sales, because the perfect webinar script is not a marketing script, it's a sales script. What the perfect webinar script did for sales, my offer hook formula will do to marketing. Because it's going to teach people the correct scripting to be using out in the internet. I'm going to shut up now, but one of the reasons why people are struggling so much is because they're using sales scripting in a marketing channel. So you just come across as annoying, all right? It's like a door-to-door salesperson, you open the door and they're standing there and they just have an order form in your face. And you're like, what? I didn't give you permission to pitch me. Have you ever had that feeling when a salesperson is pitching you, but you didn't ask and you didn't get permission? That's exactly the feeling you create inside of people when you use something like the perfect webinar script on YouTube. That's not what it's for. It's for a market. That's a marketing channel, and you're using selling material. Selling is further down the pipeline. You haven't even gotten them to raise their hand yet and say, tell me more. It's a different form of storytelling. It's not the sales story. It's not your origin story. It's not a story about your product. Nobody cares about you yet. It's a different form. I'm not saying you can't use those. I've done that on those platforms, but it's few and far between, man. Be very careful of using selling scripting in a marketing channel, right? 80% of your story should be a marketing story on a marketing channel. And that's all things like YouTube and Facebook and podcasts, and they're story platforms. right? They're marketing platforms way before they're selling base platforms. And so just most people are just using a scripting style and a story that is meant kind of downstream psychologically in this, in the pitch. All right. You guys are awesome. Hey, if you want to learn more about affiliate hacks and my very unique methods on this, which was kind of cool, is almost all of the seven figures I've collected in affiliate commissions was done with organic methods. And that doesn't mean I was just doing DMs and making content. They have a very strategic method towards it. So if you want to learn how to do that, go to affiliatehacks.com. And there's a brief webinar presentation that in there, and would love to have you. So that's kind of my new thing, and that's what I'm going to be pushing out really hard here. So thank you guys so much for listening. Appreciate it, and I will see you guys on the next episode. The first real dollar I ever made online was actually with affiliate marketing 12 years ago. Since then, I've collected over $1 million in commissions using organic strategies. I've written chapters on affiliate marketing in others' books, placed in many leaderboards, won lots of awards and trips and goodies like a truck, and even been approached by some of the largest affiliate marketplaces on earth to learn my unique affiliate methods. But funny enough, it wasn't until a few months ago that it actually hit me, oh my gosh, I think I'm a professional affiliate. So by popular demand, I'm excited to finally announce Affiliate Hacks at affiliatehacks.com. It'll walk you through my unique sales strategy, marketing strategy, and funnel method, as well as how I choose what to affiliate for, because I'm very picky. I'll teach you how I use affiliate marketing in a broader business strategy and how I develop my bonuses to compete with top affiliates. It's all about leads and sales, plus very minimal funnel skills, which it'll walk through. All swipes are included. Affiliate marketing lets you focus on the skills of what to do with the offer once you have it. It's like marketing training wheels. If you look it up, affiliate marketing is projected to nearly double by 2030. The world is catching up with this concept, which means you get to ride the wave. Go check out the short free presentation at affiliatehacks.com to learn how to put affiliate marketing in your business.